The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brethren, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. He does not say, and to his offsprings, as is of many, but as of one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Now I mean this, the law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? By no means. For if the law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, the promise might be given to those who believe. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there he met him ten lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass, as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way, for your faith has saved you." Thus far are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, we are told of a healing of a group of lepers. Leprosy is a terrible, gruesome, and disgusting disease. And for this reason, there is a perfect parallel between it and sin. Leprosy is a disease that spreads rapidly across the body of one infected, and over time, putrefying the flesh, causing limbs and extremities to rot away. Leprosy not only infected the body, but the things that the leper came into contact with. Their clothes, their homes, other persons. And at least back before it was somewhat treatable, leprosy drove one out of common life with others, away from society, to live alone with other lepers in one's putrefaction. Thus, leprosy is a perfect analogy for sin. For what leprosy does physically to a person, sin does spiritually. In the Gospel story, the lepers wait for Christ outside of the village, for they know in their state they cannot enter in. So too, the sinner cannot truly enter into the kingdom of God. One of the effects of sin is a distaste for spiritual things, for the sinner can get no true benefits from them without repentance, without giving up their sin. We are told, from afar off, they raise their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Between God and a man in grace, there is still a chasm. Between God and the sinner, this chasm is infinitely greater. And thus we cry out from afar to Christ to have pity on us. He sends them to go show themselves to the priests, and on the way, they are made clean. Understanding the healing that was granted, only one returned to our Lord to show his gratitude. Stirred by the ingratitude of the 9 and the faith of the 1, our Lord declared that his faith has saved him. How often does this story apply to our very own lives? How often are we forgetful of the great gift that Christ has given us in our baptism? And, reneging on our baptismal promises, we stain the pure white garment of grace with the spiritual leprosy that is sin. And then, if this is not enough, how often does Christ impart to us again his pardon, restoring us to that baptismal purity in the sacrament of confession, only to leave with ingratitude? How often do we leave the confessional without taking seriously the resolve we made to avoid our sin? How often are we like the 9 lepers who once cleansed went their own way, back to the very lives that brought upon them the scourge of leprosy? We must be like the 1, not the 9. We must understand the greatness of the gift that God has imparted to us in the forgiveness of our sins. Like the 1, we must return to Christ in gratitude and love. St. Thomas tells us that the power of God, which is present to move one sinner from being his enemy to being his friend in grace, is greater than the power which was present in the entirety of creation. And more than the once at our baptism, how often does God extend this great gift, this great use of his power to us? When will we realize the magnitude of his love and meet him with true repentance and conversion, rather than stubborn persistence in returning to the very lifestyle that houses our sins? In other words, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to let our purpose of amendment make a practical difference in the way that we live. We must realize the great love of God for us in the sacraments and allow ourselves to be moved back to him in love and gratitude. We cannot continue to return our own way. We must learn his way. The 9 probably returned to their old friends, their old communities, back to the very places where they contracted leprosy in the first place, probably to contract it again. Once cleansed, how often do we fail to properly take account of our sins in our lives as more than the mere skeleton that we're used to confessing them? We are used to just coming up with a name and a number, which suffices for the confession. But this is not sufficient if we hope to amend our lives. We need to put flesh back on the bones of our sins. We need to consider them as they occur in our lives. We don't sin in a vacuum. We need to consider our sins with their circumstances, with their occasions. We need to consider how it is that we contracted this disease anyway, and work to change the way we live so as to avoid those occasions responsible. Christ, most assuredly, was not in the exact same spot that he was when he first encountered the lepers, but rather probably entered in the town and was about his business. So thus, the 1 leper who sought him out would have had to go about searching for him. And in searching for him, in his faith, would have avoided returning to his leprosy and eventually finding the Master again. This must be us. From leaving the confessional, we must find real, practical ways to change the way that we live, so as to search out Christ more and more in our lives and avoid those things that continually cause us to fail. We cannot afford to go on taking no account of the magnitude of the goodness, the generosity, and love of God in our lives. Far from this leper who received a healing once, we owe great debt to God. And if he should seek out Christ and fall on his face at his feet in worship and thanksgiving, what excuse do we have? May God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.